This episode of the Morning Buzzcast is brought to you by Connect Partnership Group. Connect's consulting division leverages decades of experience in relationship building with teams and large public venue operators to help companies drive revenue by winning procurement opportunities. Visit connectwins.com to learn more.
Yes, it's hard to believe, but just over 3 weeks until the CAA World Congress of Sports at LA Live, April 18th and 19th. It's going to be one of the best conferences and networking events of the year. Join your friends, join your colleagues, sign up today at sportsbusinessjournal.com, or just let me know if you have any questions. You know, we talked about the NWSL season opener over this past weekend, and here's one number to think about. Almost 31,000. Yes, that was attendance at one of the matches. The San Diego Wave beat the Chicago Red Stars Saturday before 30,800 fans at San Diego's Snapdragon Stadium, a record NWSL crowd for a home opener. Very well done, and we will continue to monitor attendance at the NWSL matches all season on the Buzzcast. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, March 27th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcor. Hope everyone had a great weekend. We have a big sports week ahead. Of course, we have our men's Final Four all set. And who would have predicted this? We have the number 9 team Florida Atlantic taking on number 5 San Diego State Saturday, 6 o'clock CBS. And then number 4, Connecticut, facing number 5, Miami, Saturday, 8:30 on CBS in Houston. This year's men's tournament has been so unpredictable. For the first time since seeding began in 1979, no number 1 teams made it to the Elite 8. You don't have the Big 10. You don't have the SEC. You don't have the Big 12 or the Pac-12. You have Conference USA, the Mountain West, the Big East, and the ACC. The women's Final Four will be solidified tonight, but one team won't be in the mix. UConn got beat, won't be in the Final Four for the first time since 2007. You know, I mentioned the ACC. There's a lot of intrigue around the ACC these days. You have a number of schools, the top schools, looking to get more money and change the revenue distribution model in the conference. You have a lot of pressure on ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips to increase the overall revenue pie. And now Phillips came out over the weekend saying that the conference needs to improve its narrative around basketball. Phillips said he will meet with men's basketball coaches and athletic directors after the season to discuss ways to be more proactive and aggressive in framing the storyline around the conference. And why is that? Well, the ACC only received 5 bids for this year's NCAA men's tournament, and that didn't please the leaders of the conference. Yes, they feel better about Miami and having a slot in the Final Four, but this is the first time since the conference expanded to 15 teams in 2013 that the ACC has gone back-to-back seasons with only 5 tournament bids. So yes, the ACC schools need to win more, but Phillips thinks the conference can do a better job touting the results and strengths of its programs. So we'll see what he does during the offseason. Keep your eye on the NFL this week, as it's a big week during the league meetings in Phoenix. The 3-day annual meetings began yesterday on Sunday. They will last through Tuesday. Here are some of the news items you can expect to see coming out of the meetings. The owners will consider a contract extension for Commissioner Roger Goodell. The NFL's compensation committee is working to finalize a deal that would reportedly run for 3 years until the spring of 2027, just past Goodell's 68th birthday. Now, Goodell's current deal expires in just 1 year, next March. So owners are likely to discuss this and get an update on where things stand, but the timing of when the contract is signed is not clear. Owners will also discuss Thursday Night Football having a flexible schedule. That's something we touched on Friday in the Buzzcast, but it's not clear when any flex scheduling for Thursday Night Football will start or even if it will pass. Owners will also discuss rule changes related to instant replay, punts and kickoffs, playoff seeding, emergency quarterbacks, and other issues. Now, the owners are unlikely to address the ownership of the Commanders and the status of Dan Snyder. They are apparently waiting on the potential sale of the team. We still haven't heard details of the NFL's investigation being conducted by attorney Mary Jo White. The Washington Post reported that Dan Snyder has declined to be interviewed by Mary Jo White, and White is expected to make at least one more attempt to interview Snyder before her investigation is completed. It is not clear whether Snyder will agree to speak to White. So there is always a lot of news coming out of these annual meetings. We will certainly touch on it all week on the Buzzcast. Let's move on. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman will be in Ottawa today on Monday and will talk to city leaders about a new arena, as well as the progress the league is making on the sale of the Senators. Remember, a key aspect of any deal is the promise of a new arena, which is earmarked for the LeBreton Flats part of the city. Now, as many as four of the groups interested in purchasing the Senators could visit the team and arena this week. There was a report last week that bids for the team were north of $900 million, which would be a big win for the NHL and a very healthy price. Now, there is some speculation that some of the groups who were a bit lower on their initial bids are looking to increase their number, which could spark a bit of a bidding war and, of course, increase the sale price. So that's worth watching. XFL co-owner Dwayne The Rock Johnson is reportedly involved with one of the buying groups for the Senators. So the sale of the Senators certainly heating up, and there likely will be some resolution soon. You know, if you read one story from over this past weekend, read the front page profile in Sunday's New York Times of Mets owner Steve Cohen. As he enters his third season as owner, Cohen is called, quote, perhaps the most significant, contradictory, beloved, resented, limit-testing new owner in American sports, end quote. The story looks at Cohen's leadership style, and it states, quote, Cohen has rarely been known to spare the feelings or calendars of business subordinates, filling weekends with calls and summoning charges to his Connecticut home for 20-minute breakfast meetings in the name of efficiency, end quote. But officials insist Steve Cohen does not dictate day-to-day personnel decisions like a George Steinbrenner or even a Jerry Jones, though he does get involved in player deals and works directly with agents like Scott Boras. Again, it is a read well worth your time. And all this comes as the Mets have installed a new center field scoreboard at Citi Field. It's the biggest in Major League Baseball at more than 17,000 square feet. That is three times the size of the previous board. The entire board is digitized, of course, and can show multiple messages. The Mets said the new board was a way to amaze fans, entertain fans, and have some fun. In addition, the Mets are doing some pretty interesting things around tickets and pricing. The Mets have opened its Cadillac Club, which is inside the right field wall at the field level, and seats there cost $25,000 for the season, and they are sold out in their first row. Rows 3 and 4, those are available for $19,000 per seat. Now, these tickets include VIP parking for every game, of course, food and beer and wine, and it will feel like a speakeasy as there's standing room access in the club. And again, it's designed to feel and look like a New York speakeasy club. So some interesting things going on with the New York Mets. You know, news that broke late Friday is a change in leadership at Ilitch Sports and Entertainment, as President and CEO Chris McGowan is leaving the organization after less than 18 months on the job. Now, Ilitch Sports and Entertainment is, of course, the group that oversees the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Red Wings. They also operate Little Caesars Arena, Comerica Park, and other music venues. Now, Chris McGowan was the longtime president and CEO of the Portland Trailblazers. He joined Ilitch Holdings in late 2021. He joined after the departure of Chris Granger. Chris Granger moved on to Oakview Group. Chris McGowan came in. McGowan said he made the decision to step down, but did not disclose what his future plans are. Illich Sports and Entertainment did promote Senior Vice President of Business Operations and Strategy, Ryan Gustafson, as Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of the division. Gustafson joined Illich Sports and Entertainment in 2022. He's had previous stints with Elevate Sports Ventures, the XFL, and Pegula Sports and Entertainment. So some changes happening in Detroit at Illich Sports and Entertainment. And finally, everyone at SBJ is wishing the best for ESPN's Mike Greenberg, who is recovering from heart surgery. Surgery reportedly went well. Greenberg is resting now, but will be back at it soon. Again, we are wishing him the best during his recovery. And a big week ahead. NFL meetings, MLB opening day on Thursday, the women's Final Four begins on Friday, and the men's Final Four is on Saturday. So a very big, exciting sports week ahead. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, March 27th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Connect Partnership Group's consulting division drives revenue for companies that wish to procure new business and gain market share in the sports, entertainment, municipal, and large public venue sectors. With their deep industry relationships and proven processes, Connect can quickly activate a robust pipeline of new prospects and accelerate your sales growth. Visit connectwins.com to learn more.